Okay, we're starting here on the top of Chav Tetem and Aleph, 7 lines down. We're discussing the machloka between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to the sources for the fact that a woman who is a sotam is asur the baal, asur the boel, asur bitshuma, and asur the kuhuna. That means that she can't go back to her husband. She can't go to the blessed boel until this is clarified, until these issues are straightened out. So she drinks the mesota and she's exonerated. The same is true with regards to truma and kihuna, which is that she may not, if she's a bat kohen, return to her father's house to eat truma. And if she wants to marry a kohen, she's deemed to be a zona, or classified like a zona, that she cannot marry a kohen until this is clarified, until the mesota exonerate or clear her from these suspicions. So now, where do we get all of those from? Those are four different limudim that we need. So we saw yesterday, Rabbi Akiva learns it out, the fact that the word nitma'a appears four times. It only appears three times in the parsha, but one time it says v'nitma'a. And so that additional vav of v'nitma'a teaches you that there are four limudim, and he gets all four limudim from that. Rabbi Shmuel is not doresh the vav, so he has three nitma'as. And so therefore he learns out Baal, Boel, Truma. And then from the Truma he says, I have a Kal v'chomer, Kuhuna should also be Asura. That if she is restricted in Truma, then she certainly should be restricted to the Kohen. The difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel will be that it's done from a Kal v'chomer. And we have a principle in other places in Shas that Ein Unshin Min Adin, possibly Ein Mazirin Min Adin, but Ein Unshin Min Adin, which means that if you have the Kal v'chomer, you can't penalize her for that restriction. Whereas by Rabbi Akiva's drasha, you could give a penalty. The problem here anyway is that it is not necessarily, and you'd have to assume that the Iser Lav of Kahuna, which applies to Zonah, is triggered here because she's deemed to be a Zonah, and then you would have an Iser Lav where you could give Malkot for. That might be the difference between them. Tosfot over here asks an interesting question. He thinks, or he suggests, that by the case of a Zonah, complete zona, where she had an extramarital affair, she was mina efet, then she would not be a surah to the truma or the kuna. So why here by a safek should be? She should be. So Tosfot discusses it. The Tosfot Shas rejects that and says that even in a case, if a case of vadai, for sure she is disqualified from truma and kuna. Therefore, there's nothing to discuss. Although Tosfot, based on the Gemara in Yevamot, raises the issue. And Rashi himself has difficulties with the Girsa and that Gemara in Yevamot that leads to this problem that the Tosfot is raising. So now the Gemara asks, 7 lines down, Rabbi Shmuel, mi maidi istikra le truma vikuna atya bekal v'chomer. How do you know that the three items that are learned out of the Pasuk are Baal, Boel, and truma? And then you can learn out kuna from a kal v'chomer. Dilma ki istikra le kuna v'truma sharia. Maybe it should be this way. The three limudim that you get are Asur the Baal, Asur the Boel, Asur the Kuna, and Muteret le Truma. How do you know which one to put in as the third limud? It's obvious that the Baal and Boel make the most sense because they are direct parties to the situation here, and that makes sense to make the limud. But how do you know between Truma and Kuna? And the truth is that logic would dictate that Kuna is first because of the Kal v'chomer. The Kal v'chomer says that Kuna is more stringent than Truma. So if you had to pick which one the Pasuk weighed Asur, you would pick Kuhuna. So why is he picking Truma to be the item and then he gets Kuhuna as well? Because all the limudim should be of a parallel nature, which is similar to the Baal and Boel. Ma Baal Boel Michayim. Just like the Baal and the Boel, while they're still alive, there's a problem. Af Truma Nami Michayim. So too, when she's alive, there is a problem with truma. That kuna only becomes an issue after death. That is because, with regards to the baal or the boel, the baal is a sur right away. She can't return to her husband until she gets this problem cleared up. And that isur is present immediately. The same thing with the boel. If she's divorced from her husband, or even if her husband passes away, she's not allowed to go to the Boel. That means immediately there's a problem with the Boel. Truma is the same thing. Even if she gets divorced from her husband, the truma will remain a problem immediately, because even a grusha who goes back to her father's house is entitled to truma as long as she doesn't have children. She's entitled to truma. This will disqualify her from truma. So that truma is relevant during the lifetime of the Baal as well. On the other hand, when it comes to the Isur Kuhuna, it's only relevant if the husband dies. It's not relevant in any other way. Well, maybe she got divorced. She gets divorced, you can't marry a Kohen anyway because she's a grusha. So the only relevance of the Isur Kuhuna is if the husband passes away. So as opposed to the cases of Baal, Boel, and Shuma, where they're applicable while the husband is still alive. On the other hand, here, by the case of Kuhuna, it's only applicable when the husband has passed away. And so because those three are similar, share that common denominator, that they are applicable while the Baal is alive, makes more sense to say the word Nitma comes to exclude Shuma, and not to exclude Kuhuna, even though logically it would have dictated just the opposite. So therefore, he says that Shuma is excluded from the Pasuk, and therefore we get Kuhuna, Bekal B'chomer, Rabbi Akiva, Dumiya de Baal Boel, Leitle. So Rabbi Akiva either doesn't hold of this common denominator theme, meaning that he says that the logic will trump over here. Kuhuna is more stringent than Shuma, and therefore Kuhuna should be the first thing that you exclude, not Shuma. That's the way he'll learn. This idea that it's Dumiya de Baal Boel, he doesn't hold of that. He doesn't subscribe to that. Binami, itle. Or maybe he does subscribe to that. Nevertheless, milta da'ashi b'kavachomer, tarach v'katav l'akra. Something that you could have learned out of a logical argument of a kavachomer. Nevertheless, the pasuk wrote it anyway. It's a principle that shows up in numerous places in Shas, that even though you could have learned this, that we didn't need the pasuk went ahead and told us the information. Whether that's because it wants to emphasize a certain isur, or whether that's like we discussed before, it changes the dynamic from being something that is learned through logic and might be subject to the rulings of Ein Onshin Min Adin to something that now is Mifurash Bekatuf, which has a slightly different nuance to it. So whatever the reason is, the Pesukim wrote it down. So even if he subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel's position all the way through, he's nevertheless says the Torah went out of its way to write Kuhuna and Truma, even though you could have learned Kuhuna from a Kal v'chomer from Truma. Right now, we go back to the din of Sota. We said before that Sota becomes the paradigm in Torah Kula, that Safek Tuma is deemed to be Tuma, but that's only governed or is within the rubric of what Sota was. That means it must be in the Reshut HaYachid, not in the Reshut HaRabim. Number two is it has to be Da'ato Lishael. You have to have the ability to ask the party that is B'Safek, you have to be able to ask them questions. It doesn't mean that you can resolve the issue, but you have to have the ability to ask them questions. Just like by Sota, the woman knows whether she was defiled or not defiled. She may not be telling us, but she does know what the outcome is. So now, based on that, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Davar Sheish Bo Dat Lishael, Ve'ein Bo Dat Lishael, Mihaikra Nafko. He says, we don't learn that out of Sota. We learn out of this Pasuk that is found by Kodoshim, which says, Basar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. Basar that comes into contact with any tumah may not be eaten. Vadai tamehu d'lo ye'achel. That's only true that it may not be eaten if it's vadai tamei. Ha'safek tamei v'safek tohor ye'achel. But if it is a safek, uncertain as to whether it's tamei or not, you could eat it. Ema seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the pasuk? Basar kol tohor yochal basar. So it says, with regards to the basar kodeshim, anyone who is tahor can consume, can eat the basar. Vadai tahor hu diyochal, basar. Only someone who is certainly tahor can eat the basar. Ha safek tamei, v'safek tahor, lo yochal. But if it's someone who has uncertainty as to whether they're safek tamei or tahor, then they would be permitted to eat it. So what you have is, in essence, a stira within the pasuk. If you medayek from the ratio of the pasuk, you end up with saying that safek is tahor. You medayek from the seifa of the pasuk, you end up with the safek being tamei. So usually that what we'd say is, you can't learn from here because there's no evidence in either direction. But how does he say, he says, suggests a different answer. Elalav shmamina, kan sheish bo dat lishael, Kan chain bo dat lishael. The nafkamina between them is whether you have dato lishael or ain dato lishael. Which, as Rashi explains, habasar asher yiga. When you're talking about the basar kodeshim that came into contact with tumah, then that basar is the one or the item that came into contact with the tumah. There's nobody to ask over there. There's no conversation with the basar. So since the basar is ain dato lishael, therefore the safek will be tahor. And that's the diuk that he makes. That it's only habasar sheyigah b'chol tamei lo yachel. When it's badai tamei, then you can't eat it because the basar is something that is ain dato lishael. Safek, yeh tahor. On the other hand, the latter part of the pasuk, which says habasar kol tahor yochal basar, someone that is tahor will eat the basar. There you're talking about someone who is dato lishael. It's a person. And the person isn't coming in contact with the tumah. So in that case, he's dato lishael. If he is vadai tohor, fine. Safek tohor, tamei, because dato lishael. In the case of dato lishael, safek goes the chumra. We go say that where we say that it is tamei. So therefore, you have this distinction of dato lishael and ain dato lishael derives from this pasuk. Now, many of the Rishonim point out that there are other distinctions you could make that would resolve or explain the difference over here. So first of all, you have the fact that you're talking about basar versus adam. And when it comes to basar versus adam, the Tosfot Shan says over here, v'leka l'meimar, v'day tamei hu d'ikalav, ha-safek tamei l'kalav. That if you have a v'day tuma, the lav is applicable. If you have a safek lav, it's not applicable. So he says, how do you know that the diuk out of this pasuk is correct? Maybe habasar asher yigah b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. So if it's vaday tamei, you may not eat it. Safek tamei, then you also can't eat it because of the latter half of the pasuk, which says habasar kol tahor yochal basar. As long as it's tahor, then you can eat the basar. So what is the pasuk saying? If you know if it's for sure tamei, there's a lav in eating it. If it's safek tamei, there may not be a lav, but there's still an isra asay from the second half of the pasuk that you may not eat it. How do you know it means that safek is tohor legamre, or it's fine legamre? The way that the Tosfot Shan answers is, kaven de mafkinen le misura. Once the pasuk says it's not relevant to the isura anymore, ikimna hetera. We go to the full-fledged side of heter. You're not going to suggest over here that you get a part of the way out of the problem, but there's still the residual problem. If you're out of the problem, you're out of the problem, the gamrei. And that's why the Gemara is mendayek, that in the first half, when it says that it's not applicable to pasuk, it's not applicable to gamrei, and the item is tahor. The second half of the pasuk, again, if it's not applicable, then it will be safek tamei. Additionally, others suggest that the difference here could be in the fact that when you say basar, you're talking about something that involves a chiyuv lav. When you're talking about tumata guf, when a person is tamei, then there's a chiyuv karet. So that might explain the difference here as well. Basar that is tamei, that is consumed by an individual, is a violation of an isur lav. Whereas someone who is tamei b'tumata guf, if they eat kodeshim b'tumata guf, they're chayav karet. So that could explain the difference also. Maybe the reason that safek tuma by the basar is tahor is because it's only an iser lav. Safek tuma by the adam is tamei because there's a chiyuv karet. So there's a good reason for that. So why can't that be the explanation of the difference over here? Why do you have to say that the difference is dato lishael ain dato lishael? So the answer is similar to what the Tosfot Shan suggested in his question, which is that pasuk is not addressing that. The pasuk is not saying that, oh, because we have lav or because we have karet, which are not mentioned in the psukim at all, that's what drives the diuk over here. The diuk is out of the pasuk itself, which says that if the basar is tamei vadai, then you cannot eat it. Then safek, you can eat it. And that heter doesn't seem to derive from the level of isur of the basar, but simply from the way that the pasuk is written. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that there is a hekesh, that the pasuk puts both of them in the same pasuk. It talks about the tumata basar and the tumata dam in the same pasuk. If their dinim are really so segregated or separate, then they should separate in the psukim. The fact that they're joined together in the pasuk shows you that when we say something is vadai, then it's vadai that way. When it's a fake that way. That equation should make it that the sfekot should be equal. The fact that they're not equal needs explanation. And it can't be just the difference between this is a chiyuv lav and that's a chiyuv karet, because then the pasuk should have separated them out completely. The fact it puts them together shows you that there's an equivalence of sorts. And then you have to explain now why, if there's an equation of equivalence, then why is the din different? And that's the answer that Rav Gidl gives, which is dato lishael and ain't dato lishael. Now, Gemara asks the obvious question, if Rav Gidl Marav learns it from that pasuk, what do you need sota from? We're learning out of sota that it's the paradigm of safek tuma, and therefore you learn from that that the toli shel is tamei, ain't that toli shel is tahor. So we have a source from sota, and now we have a source from this pasuk in Kodoshim from Rav Gidl Marav. So why do I need both of them? So that's what the Gemara says now. Beitzrich, the Rav Gidl Marav, beitzrich, the Migmar Misota. I need both of these sources. De'imi derav, had I only learned it out of the pasuk in Kodoshim, Rav Gidl Marav's drosha, havamina ben bishut yachid, ben bishut rabim. I would think that this din has application whether you're in the Rishut Yachid or Rishut Rabim, because by Kodoshim, there is no such distinction between Rishut Yachid and Rishut Rabim. That means that if Datol Yishael, Safek Tuma would always be Tamei, and if Ain Datol Yishael, Safek Tuma would always be Tahor, irrespective of the location, whether it was in Rishut Yachid or Rishut Rabim. So therefore, I need Sota, Itzrich, the Migmar Misota. Sota teaches me that there is a difference between Rishut Rabim and Rishut Yachid. That means in Rishut Rabim, Safek Tuma is always Tahor, irrespective of whether Datol Yishael or Ain Datol Yishael. That's Tahor. Now, within Rishut Yachid, there's that distinction between Datol Yishael and Ain Datol Yishael. So what Sota does is it tells us that the Pasuk by Kodeshim is limited to a location of Rishut Yachid. So then why not just write Sota, and you'd have all that information from Sota? Imi sota avamina adika dat nogeo magia. This is something that we noted yesterday, that if you really look at the paradigm of sota, both parties are datol lishael then. Because you have the woman and the purported boel, so both of them can be asked. Again, not that they're going to give you the answer, but both of them know the answer to the question. So yesh datol lishael. It's someone that you could ask the question to, someone that you could query. So now you would think that only in cases where both parties are datol lishael, then that would be a case where we'd say sfeko tamei. But if it was only one party, that is datol lishael, maybe we would not say that. So tzricha, that's what the pasuk by Kodeshim teacher says. The limud of Amar Gidol Marav tells you that even when only one side is datol lishael, that's enough to make you sfeko tamei. Because the case there is a case where the Adam became tamei. He's sfeik tamei. We don't know how he became tamei. And it could have been through a sheretz, could have been through contact with a kli that is tamei, could be through any vehicle that makes him tamei, and we still say sfeko tamei. So what do you see here? That you only need one party to be datol lishael, because the other party in all those cases where it became tamei, except it was another person, was a case where it's ain't datol lishael. Nazar Rashi says, kemen deishbo dat bezeshin nitma. As long as the one who is becoming Tamei is Datol Lishael, then Abavam Tamei, lo b'din on Dat. But the one who is causing the Tuma, you don't need Dat. Again, there are other Rishonim that suggest that it can be either side of the equation. That whether it's the Mitamei or the Nitma, as long as one of them is Datol Lishael, that would be enough. Here Rashi and the Rambam says the same thing, that the only party that makes a difference here is the one who's becoming Tamei. The recipient of the Tuma has to be Datol Lishael, has to be one that you could ask the question about whether you can query that individual, then Sveiko Tamei. So that's why we need both the limud from Sota and the limud from Rabbi Gidol Marav. Baba Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah went off on these segues, these tangents, because of this concept of Baba Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva. And Rashi's suggestion in the Mishnah that also the first halakhot that we learned from Rabbi Akiva are also bo bayom derash Rabbi Akiva. That's why they're all included in our Mishnah. But because of that, now we're going to take a tangent into Tuma Vitara to explain this section of the Mishnah, which is that on that day Rabbi Akiva was doresh for the pasuk b'chol kli cheres, that chulin can have a shlishi l'tumah. So until Rabbi Akiva came along, the way that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught us was, when it comes to chulin, chulin is able to go down to the level of sheni l'tumah. Truma can reach a shlishi l'tumah. Kodesh can reach even a revi'i l'tumah. That's what we knew. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught us also that the fact that there's a shlishi b'tumah is learned out of a kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer, which we're going to see in 1 second, that a sheni l'tumah can make a shlishi l'tumah in truma. But that kal v'chomer is what's called precarious, shaky. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, and this is what's quoted in the Mishnah by Rabbi Yoshua, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, there will be future generations who possibly reject this limud or reject this kal v'chomer. Rabbi Kiva comes along and says from the pasuk that even chulin has a shlishi l'tumah. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if only you were alive to hear this, you thought it was a kal v'chomer that was precarious that got you to shlishi l'tumah. Now you have Rabbi Kiva darshaning from the pasuk itself that chulin reaches a shlishi l'tumah. So that's what the discussion or the context in which the Mishnah is written. And now the Gemara wants to understand what exactly happened. Something else to remember. We've dealt this before in Tumah, that whenever something is Tameh, Tameh means that it accepts Tumah and conveys Tumah forward. It has the ability to convey Tumah to another level. On the other hand, Pasul means that the item itself is Tameh, but it does not convey Tumah forward. And that's what it means that by Chulin, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that ends at a Sheni Tumah, that means that when you reach Sheni Tumah, it's Pasul. That object is Tameh and problematic, but it's Pasul, meaning that it does not convey Tumah forward. If that Sheni Tumah touches anything else, it will not have any impact on it in Chulin. If it touches Truma, then it will have impact on it because the Sheni can make a Shlishi in Tumah. So that means, as far as Truma is concerned, this is something that is item that is Tameh. As far as Chulin is concerned, this is an item that is Pasul, because it's the end of the line for Tumah to Chulin. So now the Gemara wants to know, what was that Kal V'Chomer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was referencing? So Gemara says, way that Rabbi Yeshua expresses the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in the Mishnah he says, well, there's no pasuk in the Torah that tells you that Shuma can reach a shlishi the Tuma. So then, what the Gemara is asking here is, if there's no pasuk, then what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai believe that there's a shlishi the Tuma? So I already told you this, which is that there's a kal v'chomer. So Amarav, Yehuda Amarav, in the Torah, ain't lo, bidin kal v'chomer, yesh lo. It's not explicit in the Torah, but you can make an illogical argument or extension to that effect. Umatvuyom shumutar bechulin. A tvuyom that is mutar bechulim posel bitruma. Nevertheless, he affects truma. Kikar sheni shepasul bechulin. Kikar that is a sheni de truma by chulin, which is pasul inudin shiaseh shlishi bitruma. Then certainly he can make a shlishi bitruma. Now this is a special din by Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom that has yet to have the sun set on him on that day is deemed to be a Sheni Lituma. That's his level of Tuma at that point in time, is that he's a Sheni Lituma. Now, because he's a Sheni Lituma, he's Mutar B'Chulin, because he can't do anything to Chulin, he can't affect Chulin, and therefore he is Mutar to participate in Chulin and actually in Maser as well. What he can't partake of is Truma. He only becomes mutar and truma once the sun sets that day. So what you see from the Tvul Yom is that a Tvul Yom is someone who was tamei. He was tamei either for the day, or he was tamei over an extended period of time for 7 days, and now he wants to become tohor. On the last day of his tuma, he goes to the mikveh. Once he's gone to the mikveh, he is a now what's called Tvul Yom. He went to the mikveh takes down the level of the tuma. But he's still Tamei because he has to wait for the sun to set, whether it's on that day, it's the first day of his Tumah, the seventh day of his Tumah, he has to wait for the sun to set, only to become completely Tahor. In addition to that, if he is Chayav a Korban, that, for instance, a Zav, a Zavah, Yoledet, individuals who bring a Korban on the eighth day after they are Tahor, then you would call the Mechusarei Kapara, and there's another stage, which is until they bring the Korban, they're Asur B'Kodeshim. So there are really 3 stages here. The first stage is Tvul Yom, he goes to the mikveh. Once he goes to the mikveh, he's mutar to partake in chulin, and Maser because he does not affect them any longer, because he's a Sheni the Tumah, the Tvul Yom. Therefore, he doesn't affect the Chulin and the Maser, which is like Chulin. On the other hand, with regards to Truma, he still causes a problem. And he has to wait till sunset in order to be Tahor, the Gamri, for Truma. That shows you that even though you're a Sheni Lituma, you still affect Truma. And a Tvul Yom, who comes into contact with Truma, would make it Pasul. So you see there that there is a Shlishi, the Tuma by Truma, from a Tvul Yom. And he has to wait until the sun sets. The sun sets, now he is Tahor, and he can eat the Truma. Now, with regards to Kodashim, if he has no obligation to make a Korban the next day, he also be Mutar in Kodashim. If he has an obligation to bring a Korban the next day, then he be a Mechusrei Kapara, and he'll be Asur to eat in Kodashim, or partake in Kodashim, until the next day when he brings the Korban. The reason I'm telling you that is because it will become relevant later on in the Sugya. So now what the Gemara says is, I have a Kav HaChomer, Tvul Yom, who is Mutar in Chulin, he can do whatever he wants in Chulin, yet he still makes Truma into something Pasul. He conveys Truma to Truma, and he makes a Shlishi, the Truma be Truma. Then a Kikar Sheni, which is a Sheni, the Truma, which ruins it if it's Chulin, it's Tamei. This Kikar itself is Tamei when it's a Sheni, the Truma. So then certainly, Kal V'Chomer, that it should make a Shlishi, Letuma bitruma. So certainly it should make a shlishi then. So that's what the Kal V'Chomer is, which is if this is true by Tvul Yom, then it certainly should be true by a Kikar Sheni, that it should make a shlishi letuma by truma. Rashi right away notes that this is a very difficult Kal V'Chomer because you can invoke the principle of Dayo, which is Dayo, Avo Min Edin, Liot Kenidon. Whatever you make a Kal V'Chomer, the way that the Kal V'Chomer works is you have something that is less stringent, something that is lighter, and there's a rule about that item. That rule then will be extended to the more chamur item. So I have something that is true of the Kal, then that would also be true with regards to the chamur, the item that's more chamur. Over here, you have a problem. What do you have here? You have an item that is Kal, and then an item that is chamur. What's happening here is that you have a kikar sheni, a kikar which makes something in chulin a sheni lituma, meaning that if the kikar is a sheni lituma, it's a sur bechulin. So we're saying Kal V'Chomer, it should affect truma, because if a tvul yom affects truma, so too this kikar should affect truma. How should it affect truma? Well, technically it should be no more than what it does to chulin, because you're saying by chulin, which is kal, the kikar is problematic when it's a sheni. So what would that imply by truma? That the kikar sheni should also be problematic by truma. How do you get to a shlishi the truma? That's a problem because of this principle of dayo lavod min edin liot kenidon. The Kal V'Chomer only gives you a right based on this to say that a sheni the truma is problematic by truma. Just like a sheni the truma is problematic by chulin, so too by truma, a sheni the truma will be problematic. How do you get to a shlishi the tumah? That's the problem that Rashi raises over here. And he says, V'dayo leka lemeimar. We don't invoke this principle of dayo. Dim kein batal le Kal V'Chomer. Because if that's the case, batal le Kal V'Chomer, the Kal V'Chomer would disappear. The Kal V'Chomer wouldn't exist if you say dayo. Why? Because I don't need the Kal V'Chomer to tell me that there's a sheni in shuma. The pasuk says that anything that's inside of a kli cheres becomes tamei. Well, anything that's inside of a kli cheres that becomes tamei becomes a sheni le tuma. Well, if it's a sheni le tuma, then that applies to chulin, truma, kodashim. Doesn't matter what's in there, it's a sheni le tuma. I don't need a Kal V'Chomer. I don't need any limud to teach me that there's a sheni by truma. It's the same way that there's a sheni by chulin, there's a sheni by truma. Therefore, the Kal V'Chomer would be deemed worthless if I say dayo, that can only learn as much as what's coming from. Kikar, chulin, can only get to a sheni de tuma. So that means that truma should also only get to a sheni de tuma. Well, if that's the case, the Kal V'Chomer is meaningless. So Rashi says here, we don't invoke the principle of dayo in this instance. The Tosfot Shan says, that's very nice, according to the opinions that say, that when you have dayo ruin the Kal V'Chomer, you say the Kal V'Chomer, despite the fact that it breaches that principle of dayo, levo min edin, liot kenidon. But, there is another opinion that even in cases where the dayo, invoking the principle of dayo, ruins the kavachomer, we still say it. And there should be no kavachomer over here. So what the Tosfot Shan says is, O yesh lamar eicha amar Rabbi Tarfon darminan dayo af demafrik chinan kavachomer. When do we invoke this principle of dayo, even if it undermines the kavachomer? Heicha deshminan a kavachomer chidush. That's only when the kavachomer gives us something totally new, or something that is halachic. Aval high kavachomer do ati ela legluye midrash a pasuk deshminan mashi adina mikra lo amrinan dayo. That this talmud kavachomer is just trying to explain the meaning of the words in the pasuk. That type of kavachomer you're going to invoke even if it goes up against the principle of dayo. So in other cases where you want to make a kavachomer and the kavachomer would be rendered meaningless by invoking the principle of dayo, there we have a machloket tanaim as to whether you invoke the principle of dayo and say no kal v'chomer, or you don't invoke the principle of dayo, because otherwise the kal v'chomer will not even get off the ground. So that machloket now affects our sugya over here, because this is a sugya that has dayo involved with it, and it would ruin the kal v'chomer. So according to the one who says when dayo ruins the kal v'chomer, you still learn the kal v'chomer, I can explain the sugya here, and that's what Rashi says happens. On the other hand, there is another dayo that says it doesn't work. So what does the Tosfot Shan say? That other dayo only says dayo can ruin a kal v'chomer when you make a kal v'chomer that has halachic ramifications, meaning that the kal v'chomer itself is teaching us something new. It's giving us a new halacha. It's teaching us something which we wouldn't have known otherwise halachically. Over here, the kal v'chomer is not teaching us a halachic din. It's giving us the definition of tumah. It's explained to us what does the word tameh mean with regards to chulin, with regards to tumah, with regards to kodoshim. And so it's definitional in nature. That type of a kavachomer that Tosfot Shan claims cannot be ruined by dayo, according to everyone. Everyone agrees if dayo is going to ruin a kavachomer like that, then you still say the kavachomer, because this is not coming to teach you a chidush or a lacha. It's coming to teach you the definition of a word. Comes to the definition of a word, we will say the kavachomer even in the face of dayo, especially since the dayo here would render it meaningless. Therefore, we still invoke the kavachomer, and that's what Tosfot Shan says happens over here. The kavachomer now makes it that the tumah is affecting the trumah, not as a sheni the tumah, but as a shlishi the tumah. The one way around this problem, and this is somewhat suggested by the Ramban, is to say that the kavachomer is not from the kikar sheni itself, but rather from the tvul yom itself. And that is to say that a tvul yom who is completely tahor, the gabei chulin, yet his maga, his contact, creates tumah. So then, a kikar whose tumah is problematic within chulin, certainly its maga should then be effective or ruin trumah. And so therefore the kal v'chomer is really deriving from tvul yom, not from kikar sheni itself. And therefore the dayo would no longer be applicable because the kal v'chomer is deriving from tvul yom itself, not from kikar sheni, saying that the kikar sheni is this. So certainly the din will extend from that to shlishi. So now based on that kal v'chomer, we have a shlishi in truma. So now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says about that, that we have a kal v'chomer, but the dor acher is going to come along and undermine it. What are they going to say that undermines it? So the truth is, one possibility is the problem of dayo. That actually might be. They'll come along and say that the principle of dayo applies here, even begulo milta, even in a case where it ruins the kal v'chomer, and that might be the way that you could answer it. On the other hand, the Gemara brings an alternative, which is ika lemifrach. You could undermine this kal v'chomer. Mada tvul yom shekein ava tuma. Tvul yom is a derivative of a case of ava tuma. Tete mitvul yom desheret. So Gemara says, okay, why do you have to learn out of a tvul yom that is a derivative of an ava tuma? Learn out of a tvul yom that's a derivative of sheretz. So mal tvul yom, the sheretz shekein b'mino avatuma. That within the classification of tvul yom, it can derive from an avatuma. A person could be an avatuma themselves. And then after their 7 days, for instance, if he was tamei meit, then after his 7 days, he goes to the mikveh on the 7th day, he becomes a tvul yom. Maybe the chumrah of tvul yom and why it makes a truma, why it makes truma into a shlishi the tumah, and you can't eat truma when you're tvul yom, is because you derive from this higher form of Tumah. What's the higher form of Tumah? An Ava Tumah. You started as an Ava Tumah. So maybe when we downgrade you at the time of Tevil Yom, that downgrade leaves you Tameh enough that it could extend it into a Shlishi L'Tumah by Trumah. On the other hand, by the case of Kikar, Kikar comes out of a Kli Cheres. That's how we know that the food becomes Tameh, comes out of a Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres can never be an Av HaTumah. A Kli Cheres only is Mikabel Tumah. Doesn't take on the properties. So the best it could be is a Rishon L'Tumah. That means that anything that's found in it is a Sheni L'Tumah. So that means that you're now saying to me, well, the Tevul Yom that derives from something that was an Ava Tumah and then gets downgraded because he went to the mikveh, that is Pusel Trumah. You're going to tell me now that Kikar Sheni, a Kikar that is a Sheni L'Tumah, that derives only from a Rishon L'Tumah, maybe over there it shouldn't be Metamei the Trumah. That's the way that you could ruin this Kal V'chomer. The Gemara goes, okay, fine. Why do you have to use an Adam? You can have a Tevul Yom that comes from a Tumata Sheretz, which means that the person themselves wasn't an Ava Tumah. He came into contact with an Ava Tumah. He touched a Sheretz. So now he's a Rishon L'Tumah. He's Tamei Tumat Erev, which means he's Tamei for the day. He goes to the mikveh on that day. He becomes a Tevul Yom. And yet he still is problematic in touching Trumah. So here's something that's not a derivative of an Ava Tumah. He was never an Ava Tumah. He was a Rishon L'Tumah. Just like this Kikar Chulin started out from a Kli Cheres that was a Rishon L'Tumah. And yet still, when he's a Tevul Yom, he conveys Tumah to Trumah. So there, I can tell you that that's not the reason to ruin this Kal V'chomer. The answer is that Tevul Yom derives in general, maybe not in the case of Sheretz, it's not a deriving from an Ava Tumah, but Tevul Yom as a whole has a part of it that will derive from an Ava Tumah. So Tevul Yom, maybe in certain instances, doesn't come from an Ava Tumah, but we know that Tevul Yom can result from an Ava Tumah. And so because of that, maybe that's why there's a Chumrah over here. And that's what the Gemara says, Shekein b'mino Ava Tumah. The Gemara says, Kli Cheres Yochiach. We'll prove it from a Kli Cheres. Mal Kli Cheres, Shekein mitamei ma'aviro. So now you're going to say, well, how can you learn it out of a Kli Cheres? Because a Kli Cheres has a Chumrah. The Chumrah is that its airspace creates Tumah. With any other Kli, you would have to come into contact with the Kli to be Tamei. Over here, even if you go into its airspace, or an item goes into airspace, it causes Tumah. So that's a Chumrah by Kli Cheres. Tevul Yom Yochiach. Tevul Yom will offset that. V'chuzer adin. And now we can go back and forth. Lo ra'yizeh k'ra'yizeh. Lo ra'yizeh k'ra'yizeh. Neither of them is similar, because the Chumrah of Kli Cheres, that it's metamei ba'aviro, is not applicable by Tevul Yom. The Chumrah of Tevul Yom, that he comes from an Ava Tumah, is not applicable by Kli Cheres, because Kli Cheres will never be an Ava Tumah. It's always starting as a Rishon L'Tumah. Hatzadah Shaveshven. The common denominator between them is She Mutarim B'Chulin. This is a very difficult girsa. That the Mutar B'Chulin U'Puslim B'Trumah. And they cause a Psul by Trumah. Tosfot Shantz over here suggests that Ochlim in their category could also get to an Ava Tumah. So why don't we say that that's problematic? He answers in the end that Ochlim really can't get to an Ava Tumah except if they change their status from being an Ochel into a functional item. So for instance, like the Gemara in Pesachim talks about this, Chametz Nuksha, where the dough hardened to the point where they're using it now as a chair or they're sitting on it. So then that can be Mekabel Tumah, like a chair. And that's an Ochel that can be an Ava Tumah. But the reason it's an Ava Tumah or can be Mekabel Tumah like an Ava Tumah is because it's not Ochel anymore. And so therefore the Shem Ochel disappears when Ochel can become an Ava Tumah, and therefore we won't say that there is Ava Tumah in the category of Ochlin. Alright, so what you have here is you have two items which we know are Posel Trumah. What is that? We know a Tevul Yom is Posel Trumah. We know a Kli Cheres is Posel Trumah. Now Tevul Yom is Posel Trumah, meaning that it can even make a Shlishi. The Tevul Yom can't eat Trumah because he would affect the Trumah and make it Pasul. So that's how we know there's a Shlishi L'Tumah with regards to Tevul Yom. With regards to Kli Cheres, we know that a Kli Cheres becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. It has, within its world, it derives from an Ava Tumah, but it itself will never be an Ava Tumah, yet it also affects Trumah, because a Kli Cheres that's a Rishon L'Tumah will make Chulin, Trumah, Kodeshim, anything into a Sheni L'Tumah. So it can impact Trumah. It can pass Trumah to Trumah. So what you see here is that the passing of Tumah to Trumah is not only from something that came from an avatuma, it can even be something that is a rishon the tuma. So now you have these two items. You can't learn out of kli cheres, because the kli cheres only gets you to shein the tuma, so I still need the tvoyom. The tvoyom gets me to the shlishi the tuma, but tvoyom has this chumrah of avatuma. So kli cheres will eliminate that chumrah, because we see that by kli cheres, it doesn't have that chumrah of avatuma, and yet it still makes tuma tameh. So the result of that is that we have a tzedesh shavim shenem, we have a common denominator between them, that is that they are mutarin bechulin. A kli cheres is mutar bechulin, and the tvoyom is mutar bechulin. Yet they are posel the truma. They both are posel truma. Rashi over here raises a huge issue with this girsa, and therefore he amends the girsa. Other rishonim try to answer Rashi's question by coming up with a different answer. Rashi himself brings an alternate answer that suggested. Rashi knocks that answer down. He has numerous questions on that answer. The other rishonim that bring alternate solutions, in the end, they're all knocked down by other rishonim because it's very difficult. And so therefore, Rashi says that the girsa here should not be mutarim b'chulin, but rather, hatzara shaveh shebehen shemitamim, and puslim b'truma, and they cause truma to become tmeya. And so Rashi changes the girsa because, and let me explain to you what the problem is here. The reason that Rashi says you can't say that they are, both of them are mutar b'chulin, because, yes, by tvoyom, he's mutar b'chulin, and he's posel the truma, but where do you ever have a case that a kli cheres is mutar b'chulin? A kli cheres, by definition, is a rishon l'tuma. A kli can only become a rishon l'tuma. It has to be touched by an avatuma, and then becomes a rishon l'tuma, or for a kli cheres, it comes into the airspace of the kli cheres, the sheret, then it would make it tamei, oh, tumat rishon. A kli cannot become a sheni l'tuma. Sheni, shlishi, revi, the tumah are only applicable by uchlim and mashkim. It's not applicable by a kli. So now, if by definition a kli cheres is always a rishon l'tumah, then where is a kli cheres ever mutar bechulin? If it's a rishon l'tumah, chulin goes down to a sheni l'tumah, that means that a kli cheres can always be mitameh even in chulin. And so that's why Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, v'chol asarim p'tiv, atzad ha-shaveh shem sh'mutar bechulin, u'pusel b'tumah. There's no way you can explain that. Where's there ever a case that you have a kli cheres that's mutar b'chulin posulim b'truma? And then he makes a suggestion that we're talking about a tzamid patil and a ohel ha'meit, and he rejects it because that's not the way that the Gemara sounds. Therefore, Rashi says that what the Gemara really says over here is that tzadeves shebeshem shemitamim uposlim b'truma. So as Rashi explains over here, Shibushnehem mitamim, tvuyom ikre tamei. A tvuyom is called the tamei. Tichtiv uva shemesh vitaher. That when the sun sets, he becomes tor. Michlal da'ad ashta tamei. That means until now he was considered tamei. Ukli cheres ktiv, tanur urchirayim yutats tameim heim. That because they are tamei, you have to break them. That's the only way you can be mitaher them is if you break them. That means that they are considered tameim. So what does it mean that shemitamim? Mitamim means that they both have a shame tumah. They're both called tamei. A kli cheres is called tamei, and a tvoyom is called tamei. And they both are pusel truma. They both make truma pasul. A tvoyom will make a truma into a shlishi. A kli cheres will make truma into a sheni. So they both have a shame tumah, and they affect truma. Now what's the problem? We had before that tvoyom derives from an avatuma, or has the world of avatuma, and that's way maybe why it makes truma tamea. The answer is kli cheres. Look at kli cheres, which never has an avatuma, yet it still can affect truma. Kli cheres has a chumra, which is mi aviro, that it is from its airspace, it's mitamei. So therefore, maybe that's why it can be mitamei truma, because it has that chumra. The answer is, look at tvoyom. Tvoyom is not mitamei mi aviro, and yet it's still posel truma. It's able to convey truma to truma. So what is the tzedesh shaveh between them? What's the common denominator? Kli cheres is called tamei, tvoyom is called tamei, and they both make truma pasul, or they affect truma. They can make truma tmeya. So too a kikar sheni. That's the kav v'chomer now. A kikar sheni. Koshken kikar sheni. Certainly a kikar sheni should posel bechulin. Kikar that's a sheni the tuma it is pasul. If it is chulin, it's pasul, because it's a shade of the tumah. The posel b'truma, certainly, then it should be posel truma. And that's the kal v'chomer that he's learning. V'dor acher parich. So then, what's the way that you can undermine this from another generation? Mal atzad ha-seveh sheben. What's the common denominator between them? Sheken yesh ben tzad chamur. That they both have a tzad that makes them more chamur. Now the problem with that is, that would ruin any tzad ha-seveh. Every tzad ha-seveh works this way. I have disparate objects that all have the same din. Each one of them has a unique feature. So you want to say, maybe it's that unique feature that causes it to have this particular din. What do I say? I have two examples of items that have the same din, and each one has a different feature. So what does that show you? It shows you that the feature is not the important factor. It's whatever the common denominator between all these items that's the important factor, and that's why the din is the same for all of these items. So what are you going to say? Oh, but they all have a unique feature. Well, if you say that, then every tzad ha-seveh was that way. So they don't have the same unique feature, but they all have a unique feature. And since they have a unique feature, you can't make a tzad ha-seveh because that is part of the common denominator between them, that they all have this problem. So what the Tosfot Shan says over here, V'kasha ma pircho huzu, halo ein lecha din shebetalmud shelonu chalak shot bo sheyesh bo tzad chamor. Every tzad ha-seveh and shas, you could answer the same thing, that they have one common denominator. You know what the common denominator is? They have a unique feature. They have something that's chamur about them. And then you will never have a tzad ha-seveh. The whole idea of a tzad ha-seveh is we ignore the unique feature of the chumrah, because the fact that they don't have the same chumrah shows you that that's not important. So what he answers is, Vomari, delo parchinen le ele b'makom shatzad chamur hein mishunin. The only time that we say that the chumrah is a problem, we say that since they both have this chumrah, is where they have something that's unusual. It's a unique feature that does not appear anywhere else. It's a din that is unique to this item, so unique that it only applies to this item, we don't find it anywhere else. That's true here. By the case of Kli Cheres, the fact that a Kli Cheres is mitameh ba'avir is a feature that appears nowhere else. It's a chidush gadol inside of Kli Cheres. And the same thing with Tvoyom. The fact that Tvoyom is a chidush that it derives from an avatumah, and maybe that's what gives it its tzad chumrah to it. So that's what the problem is here. It has a unique feature that it derives from an avatumah. So those are unique features to each of these items that don't appear in other places. Those unique features might be what makes it that each one of them is posel truma, makes truma tmeah because of the fact that it has these unusual sides to it. And maybe that's the common denominator between them. It has to be something that is tameh, something that has a unique feature that makes it more chamur than other cases. By the tvoyom, it's that he's an ava tuma. By the case of klicheres, it's mitameh ba'avir. And once you have that, then you can make truma tmeah. A kikar sheni, which only has one of those features, which is it's posel chulin, maybe over there it won't affect truma because it doesn't have a unique feature that makes it chamur. So that's what the breaking of this kal v'chomer would be done by, is this idea. Shkeshesh said tzad chamur. You have this common denominator, them tzad chamur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tzad chamur lo parich. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't feel that that's a sufficient grounds for undermining the kal v'chomer here. He doesn't believe that that ruins the kal v'chomer just because they have, each of them has a unique feature because they're not the same unique feature. And by that definition, that shows you that that's not the important factor over here. All right, Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yossi, minayin the Revi B'Kodesh Pasul. How do you know that Revi B'Kodesh is Pasul? V'dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Ma mechusar kipurim shumutar b'truma. A person who is a mechusar kipurim, that's why I spoke about this before, that after you go to the mikveh, and after the sun sets, this individual becomes mutar in truma. Nevertheless, if he has to bring a korban the next day, so that's what's called the mechusar kipurim, like a zav, zavad, yoledet, all these individuals who bring a korban on their eighth day, then in that case, they are called mechusar kipurim, they are mutar b'truma, but pasul b'kodesh. They can't eat kodeshim until they brought their korban. Shlishi, shepasul b'truma, a shlishi, the truma, which is problematic in truma, in udin she'aseh revi b'kodesh, certainly it should make a fourth generation inside of Kodesh. So that's the kal v'chomer, how we get to a revi'i in Kodesh. Revi'i in Kodesh derives from the fact that when it comes to a mechusrei kupurim, who is mutar in truma, he's still restricted in Kodeshim, then certainly a shlishi l'tuma, which is problematic in truma, certainly that should create a revi'i in Kodesh. So that's the Kal v'chomer. Shlishi the Kodesh min haTorah min olam. All right, now you establish that there's a Revi the Kodesh. How do you know that there's a Shlishi in Kodesh? So that we know from a pasuk in the Torah, Tichtiv, pasuk that we had before. Basar asher yigah b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. Basar that comes into contact with Tumah may not be eaten. Milo askinah the nagah b'sheni, maybe it touched the sheni. Barmar rachmanan lo ye'achel, you may not eat it. Well, why may you not eat it if it touched the sheni? Now it's a shlishi l'tumah. That shows you that a shlishi is applicable by kodashim. Revi mikal v'chomer kedamran. And then we get to a Revi in Kodesh from the Kal v'chomer that we just said. Rishonim here raised the issue, Tosfot Shas raises the issue over here. Wait a minute. Why don't you just learn out Revi from the same issue? Which is that if a Revi'i is considered to be Tamei by Mechuser Kippurim, because the source Mechuser Kippurim is from the Pasuk that says, V'chiper alea kwein v'tahera, Michlal da'adkan hi t'meya. That shows you that until that point she was Tmeya. That means that Mechusar Kippurim is called the Tamei. And if that's the case, then it should be subsumed in this Pasuk by Abasar Yigah Sheigah B'chol Tamei. Lo Ye'achel. So now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that you have a Pasuk that says Basar Kodesh, that touches anything that's called Tamei, is problematic. That means that anything that we deem to be Tamei will be effective in making this Kodeshim problematic. We know that in the Torah there's an Av Tumah, Rishon the Tumah, Sheni the Tumah. All of those items are considered to be Tamei. We just also showed that when it comes to a Sheni the Tumah, that it's problematic. Even in Chulin, a Sheni the Tumah is problematic. That Sheni the Tumah now, and it's called Tamei, comes into contact with Kodeshim. The Pasuk says, if you touch anything Tamei, your Kodeshim are no good. Well, the only way that the Kodeshim can be no good if it touches a Sheni the Tumah is if it becomes a Shlishi the Tumah. Why don't we say the same thing with regards to a Shlishi the Tumah? We just proved before that by Tumah, there is a Shlishi the Tumah. That means that a Shlishi is also deemed to be Tameh. It's considered to be Tameh. So why don't we read the Pasuk like this? The Pasuk says anything that the Basar Kodesh comes into contact with that's called Tameh makes it Tameh. Well, if Tumah is Tameh when it's a Shlishi, or it's really Pasul when it's a Shlishi, then that's also considered to be Tameh. So then when the Basar Kodesh comes into contact with it, it should make it a Revi, and then you should have a Revi in a Torah. And you could learn it out of Mechusar Kippurim itself, because the source Mechusar Kippurim is from the Pasuk that says, V'chiper alea kwein v'tahera, v'chlaal da'adkan hi t'meya. That shows you that until that point she was t'meya. That means that Mechusar Kippurim is called the Tamei. And if that's the case, then it should be subsumed in this Pasuk by Abasar Yishayikah B'chol Tamei, Lo Ye'achel. The answer to that question is, when the Pasuk says Tamei, it means anything that's Tamei that we know from the Torah. Anything that is explicit in the Torah called Tamei can affect the Basar Kodesh. Assumed under this Pasuk are governed by this Pasuk of Basar Sheyigah B'chol Tamei, Lo Ye'achel. It doesn't mean Truma Shlishi, which is Tamei from the Kal v'chomer, that's not deemed to be Tamei or called Tamei, and therefore it can't be included in this Pasuk. Truth is, it's Pasul and not Tamei. So you could even answer that way, but more importantly, it's not explicit in the Torah. That comes through a Kal v'chomer. If it's Tamei through a Kal v'chomer, you can't say, oh, Basar Yishayah Yigah B'chol Tamei. Tamei includes that Shlishi the Tumah that we learned out of a Kal v'chomer. No, no, no. It only includes things that are explicit in the Torah. And in the Torah, we get up to a Sheni the Tumah. That Sheni the Tumah can affect the Kodoshim. Therefore, you know mina Torah that there's a Shlishi in Kodoshim. Rivi'i, that's learned out of the Kal v'chomer from Mechusar Kippurim. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tam b'ribi eni yodea. Tam b'ribi means the reason for the Great One. I don't understand. Ribi is the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was just said in the bright, Amar Rabbi Yossi, minayin the Revi b'kodesh b'pasul. How do I know that a Revi in Kodesh is a level of Tumah that impacts in Kodesh? Any of them out, sharei tshuvato b'tzido. I have a way to undermine the Kal v'chomer that he just said. Ochel haba machmat tvuyom yochiach. Food that comes through a tvuyom will prove. Shepasul b'tshumah, v'eno se Revi b'kodesh. It is pasul when it comes to Tshumah, yet it does not make a Revi b'kodesh. Titania, we have a brighter. Abba Sholom Eretz Vuyom Tchila Lekodesh. A tvoyom, with regards to Kodesh, is considered to be a tchila. Tchila means the beginning of the count. It means that it's considered to be a rishon the tumah for Kodesh. The tamei shnayim, v'lifsol echad. To create two levels of tumah and one level of psul. As I said before, tumah means that you are tamei and you can convey tumah. Psul means that you are tamei but you don't convey tumah. So here he says that a tvoyom is deemed to be like a rishon the tumah as far as Kodesh is concerned. That means that it will make a sheni, the tumah, a shlishi, the tumah, and a revi'i. As far as sheni and shlishi are concerned, they are tamei, and they can convey the tumah forward. That makes them tameim. So that's what it means. There are two levels of tumah, which is sheni and shlishi, and one level of psul, which is revi. Revi, which is tamei, does not convey tumah, is psul. Rabbi Meir Omer, mitamei achad uposel achad. Now, a tvol yom has a din like a sheni the tumah. And since the sheni tumah makes a shlishi and a revi'i. The shlishi is tamei because it accepts tumah and conveys tumah. The revi'i is just pasul. And that's what he means. Metamei achad upusel achad. Makes one level of tumah and one level of psul. That means it makes a shlishi and a revi'i. V'chamim omrim k'shem shepusel ochlei tumah umashkei tumah. Just like a tvol yom can affect food items of tumah and liquids of tumah, kach pusel ochlei kodesh umashkei kodesh. So too, it affects food items, or food substances of kodesh, or drinks of kodesh. Which means that it ends there. Tvoyom can make a shlishi in kodesh, but no more than that. That shlishi is not tamei to be metamei revi. The end of the line from a tvoyom into kodesh is a shlishi the tumah. So now you have a problem, because now you have a pircha. You have a ruining of the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer was said before, Mechusar Kippurim. A Mechusar Kippurim is mutar in Shuma, asur b'kodesh. So what do we say? We say, okay, Truma, which is asur b'shlishi, certainly should make a revi'i. Rabbi Yochanan says that's not true. I have a case where you have a Tvoyom, which is a sheni de Tuma, and it affects the Truma and the Kodesh to only make them into a Shlishi, not to make them into a Revi'i. You should say by a Tvoyom. If a Tvoyom cannot partake in Truma, then certainly he should be able to make a Revi'i in Kodesh. Yet we don't say that. We say that a Tvoyom only makes a Shlishi, both in Truma and Kodesh. That's the end of the line. So you have now a problem with your Kal V'Chomer, because I find a case where someone or something is pasul by Truma, and yet, they only make a shlishi. They don't go down to revi'i, and that would ruin your Kal V'Chomer. So Rabbi Yochanan says is, I don't understand Rabbi Yossi's whole position here. He's saying, oh, how do I know revi'i v'kodesh? I know it out of a Kal V'Chomer from Mechusar Kippurim. Says, I don't see that Kal V'Chomer. I can give you an example of a case where you have tumah, something that's not good for tumah, and yet it only makes a shlishi and not a revi'i. Matilar papa. Mimai, Rabbi Yossi, k'rabbanan spirulei. Very simple answer to your question, Rabbi Yochanan. Who says that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Rabbanan over here who say that a Tvoyom only makes a Shlishi and Kodesh? Maybe Dilma Kaaba Shol Sfirle. Maybe he holds like Abba Shol that it can make even a Revi'i. A Tvoyom is Tchila for Kodesh, can even make a Revi'i. Damar le Tamei Shnayim le Psol Echad. And Rashi says that the question of the Gemara could also have been Du Adin Davi Matzi Rapopo Le Meimar Dilma Karabi Meir Sfirle. He could hold like Abba Shol, he could hold like Rabbi Meir. Either one of those would have given him the opportunity to make his Kal V'Chomer, unlike holding like the Rabbanan. And even according to Abba Shol, the fact that it becomes a Rishon L'Tumah is a Maila de Rabbanon. That's only an issue mid Rabbanan. Nevertheless, Mido Oraita, he still believes that, like Rabbi Meir, it reaches a Revi'i, L'Kodesh. And from that, you can make a Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara says, if you think that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shaul, light the revi'i b'kodesh mi ochel sheba machmat tvoyom. Then he should have gotten to a revi'i kodesh from this case itself. Abba Shaul says that a tvoyom makes a revi'i in kodesh. So what do I need a Kal V'Chomer from a Mechusar Kippurim? I have a case by tvoyom that makes something into a revi'i b'kodesh. Ma ochel haba machmat tvoyom. The tvoyom govei mutar b'chulin. A tvoyom that's mutar and chulin, but ochel that is derivative, amar tose revi b'kodesh, that item makes the revi b'kodesh, ochel shlishi, abba machmat sheni, an ochel shlishi that comes from a sheni l'tumah, the sheni gufoi asur b'chulin, Hisheni itself does have impact in Chulim. Einu din shose revi b'kodesh? Certainly it should make a revi b'kodesh. If you hold a Kav HaShaol, you don't need the Kav HaChomer of Rabbi Yossi. You can have a Kav HaChomer from Abba Shaol himself. Abba Shaol himself says that by a Tvol Yom, who is Mutar in Chulim, he affects Truma, and that Truma will make a revi in Kodesh. So certainly a Kikar Sheni, which is a Sur in Chulim, or affects Chulim, if it makes a Shlishi the Truma, it certainly should allow then the Shlishi the Truma to become a revi in Kodesh. So I don't need any other limud. I could have learned this straight out of Abba Shaol. The fact that Rabbi Yossi does not learn it out of Abba Shaol's din shows you that he does not hold like Abba Shaol. So now Gemara says, maybe that the reason he didn't learn it is because Ika the Mifrach. I can ruin that Kal Vachomer. Ma l'tvul yom shkein Ava Tuma. Tvul yom is a derivative of an Ava Tuma. I mean, tvul yom starts as an Ava Tuma. So maybe when you downgrade him to tvul yom, to being less Tamei, maybe in that downgrade, there's a residual of the Ava Tuma, and that's what makes it problematic for Kodesh. But in a regular case of Kikar Sheni, maybe that would not be the case. He already brought that from the Mechusar Kippurim, velo pirchei, and he didn't ask that question. Meaning that by Mechusar Kippurim, you could have asked the same question. Mechusar Kippurim could derive from an Avot Tumah. You're talking about Zav, Zavah, Yoledet. They were all Avot Tumah when they started out. So this Mechusar Kippurim derives from an Avot Tumah. And over there, we still say that that's the proof or the Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Yossi brings to show you that there is a Revi B'Kodesh. He doesn't say over there, oh, maybe you're wrong. Maybe the only reason a Mechusei Kapara is a Sur over here in Kodeshim is because they derive from an Ava Tuma. But the Kikar doesn't come from an Ava Tuma, maybe that would not be the din. And the reason that Rabbi Yossi doesn't see this as a Pircha on his Kal Vachomer is because he says once you go to the Mikveh, the Tuma that came before is irrelevant. That's what Rashi says over here. The lochoshiv le Rabbi Yossi pircha, the hashu the tovala azalahi tuma. Once you go to the mikveh, you're in the new status, and it's irrelevant how you got to this point to being a tvul yom. All tvul yom are in the same category, no matter where they started, because now where they stand, they have the same din. And so, since it's irrelevant where they came from, that's not a good pircha on the Kal Vachomer. Tosfot, on the other hand, sees there being no pircha because of the Tzad HaShaveh that we had from Kli Cheres and Tvul Yom before, and we can apply that same Tzad HaShaveh over here to teach us the din that it isn't important that it derived from an Ava Tuma, and that's why it's not a Pircha in this instance. Since Rabbi Yossi doesn't see that as a problem with his Kal Vachomer, then he's not going to see that as a problem here by the Kal Vachomer from Abba Shaol. It's the same problem. The problem you're suggesting is that because it derives or started as an Ava Tuma, that's why it has this Chumrah here. And therefore you can't extrapolate from it in a Kal Vachomer. Well, if you want to ask that question on Abba Shaol, you can ask that question on Rabbi Yossi. The fact that Rabbi Yossi doesn't think that's a question on him means that he thinks it's also not going to be a question on Abba Shaol. That means if he held like Abba Shaol, he should have been able to get Revi HaKodesh from Tvul Yom itself. The fact that he doesn't bring that as the source shows you that he doesn't hold like Abba Shaol. He doesn't hold like Abba Shaol, he's holding like the Chachamim. The fact that he holds like the Chachamim now creates a problem. Because according to the Chachamim, a Tvul Yom doesn't make a Revi in Kodesh. And that means now I have two paradigms. I have the paradigm of Mechusar Kippurim, who's Mutar in Truma, but Asur in Kodeshim. And I have the paradigm of Tvul Yom, who's Asur in Truma. He ruins Truma, but he doesn't ruin Kodesh. Doesn't make a Revi in Kodesh. So now when I'm stuck with the case of a Kikar Sheni, that's making a Shlishi in Truma, how do I know that Shlishi can make a Revi? Do I look at the paradigm of Mechusar Kippurim? I would say yes. I look at the paradigm of Tvul Yom, I would say no. And therefore I don't have a Kal Vachomer. That's Rabbi Yochanan's question on the limud of Rabbi Yossi. I don't understand his Kal Vachomer. Okay, we're going to stop here. 5 lines down on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph.